Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Ayin Tes, the second daf today of the fifth parak of the Masechta. We started yesterday in the parak of Osav Espino. Osav Espino is the introduction to the Isser in the Torah, where one is not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. Pesukim are found in Parshas Emor, parak of Beis, sandwiched between a couple of halachas regarding kachim. But the Torah says that one is not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. It's a law in the Torah. It's a formal law in the Torah. If one did so deliberately, he would be receiving malchus. Yesterday, we went through the Mishnah. The Mishnah, like an algorithm, went through 12 different permutations of scenarios in which he shechted the mother and its offspring. One, both were chulin, both were karbanos. One was a chulin, one was a karban. One was done inside the azara, one was done outside the azara. And basically 12 different scenarios in which we just follow along, we plug in the rules, and we come out with what would be the result of the first animal, the second animal. We dealt with the validity of the first and second animal. We dealt with the question of punishment regarding the person who shechted the first and second animal. And so the mission went through all those scenarios. As we pointed out in yesterday's daf, the Isser Osav Espino does not require that one person shecht both animals. You can have one person shechting one animal, another person shechting another animal. That's a violation of the Isser. We also pointed out yesterday, it does not disqualify the animal. Even though the person who shechted the second animal is in violation of Osav Espino, the animal itself does not become disqualified. Those are all the basic points that we made in yesterday's daf. We got to the Amud Beis, Y9 Ches Amud Beis. And we are starting towards the top of the Amud in a discussion of what is actually learned out from the Pesukim of Shor Oseh. The Pesuk starts off, Shor Oseh, Osav Espino Lo Sishchutu Miyam Echad. And what are we learning from the word Shor Oseh? And specifically, what are we learning from the word O? The word O means and. Now, is it necessary over there? It could say Shor Viseh. Problem, of course, is that if it says Shor Viseh, that vav certainly sounds like a conjunction. Sounds like one would not be in violation of the Isser until you shecht a shor and a seh. But that's not true. You only need to shecht one mother and its offspring in order to violate the Isser. So what did we learn out from the word O? So one possibility of what we learn out from the word O is that not only is there an Isser on shor and seh that are purebreds, but even if it's kalim, even if it's a cross between two different animals, one would be in violation. In other words, you take that crossed animal and you shecht it and its offspring on the same day. One would be in violation of the Isser. That's one possibility of what to learn out from the word O. And that is one Tana's opinion that we learned in yesterday's daf. Osav Espino noeg b'kalayim of a koi. That Osav Espino applies to both kalayim and to koi. Koi we're going to discuss in much greater detail later today. So we'll come back and I will discuss that later on. On the other hand, maybe the word O is there to tell me to divide. Maybe, or, because if I didn't have the word O and I just had a vav, I could have understood the conjunction of shor viseh, meaning and, as opposed to or. So maybe that's it. So the Gemara notes that this is a general debate throughout all of Chumash in terms of whether we assume conjunction and the two have to be put together, or the default setting is that we always assume separation with or without the word O. And that's where we got to yesterday. And the Gemara, let's pick it up in the Gemara, Hanicha. Hanicha l'Rabbanan, we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Shor Oseh Osav Espino, my love, may O nafkalei lo, may O so. So the Gemara says that we don't necessarily learn it out from the word O, we learn it from the word O so. O so is in the singular. And it comes to tell me that in order to violate the Isser, I don't need to shecht the shor and the seh. I only need to shecht one of the two. Now, the Gemara points out as follows. Hanichla Rabban di miyasulu oso, elachananya de lo miyasulu oso, lechalik minale lechalik. So the Gemara says that's very good if you have the word oso available. But if you do not have the word oso available, like Hananya, for example. Now, at this point, we don't know who he is. We know who he is. We don't know who he is in respect to our discussion. So at this point, it's fair for us to be a little bit lost, but everything's going to be clarified in just a little bit. But according to Hananya, who does not have the word Oso available, so how does he know that we are being mechalik between the shor and the seh? That in order to violate the Isser, you don't have to shech the shor and the seh. It would be sufficient if I shech to the shor or the seh. So lo tzarich karam. So the Savala Karabi Yonasan. So the Gemara points out that here's what we can do. for Chananya, who does not have the word Oso available, how do I know that we're going to be Mechalik? Answer is, we're going to put him together with the Tana of Rabbi Yonasan, Ditanya. And the Gemara over here points out as follows, Ish Asher Yikalal Aviv V'Imo, right? We have in the Gemara, we have S Imo. Okay. Anyway, probably the correction should be Aviv V'Imo. Regardless, we know there's an issue in the Torah that one is not allowed to curse his mother and the father. It is a capital crime to do so. In doing so, is it necessary to violate this issue to curse mother and father, or mother or father? Well, the Torah just simply says, Ashi kalal es aviv v'imo. So, the ainli ella aviv v'imo. Aviv shelo imo. V'imo shelo aviv minayin. How do I know that it could be that one's violating the issur for either parent? Tamalamar aviv imo kilel. Aviv kilel imo kilel divra abiyoshia. So Rav Yoshia says, you're just simply mamshech in the psukim. In the psukim, it says aviv v'imo kilel. So what we have over here in the psukim, if you look at the two psukim side by side, you'll see that the word mekalel is first placed alongside the father. In the next pasuk, it's placed alongside the mother. So that means to say that if you're mekalel, if you curse either your mother or your father, one would be in violation of the isser of being mekalel a parent. And that is how we know that you don't have to be mekalel both to violate the isser. That is all lefi the shita of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan Omer Mashma Shneim Kechel Mashma Echad Bifnei Atzmo Ashivor L'Chakasov Yachdav. So, and according to Rabbi Yonasan, that's not the default setting of the Torah. The default setting of the Torah is always going to be that we assume individual, unless the Torah says Yachdav, right? By Pishtim, the Torah says Yachdav. That's Sema Upishtim Yachdav. So there, the Torah goes out of its way to say that they have to be connected. Otherwise, we don't assume connectedness. And that means to say that when the Torah introduces us to an isser of cursing one's father or mother, we don't assume that has to be and. We always assume it's going to be or, unless the Torah says otherwise. Same thing here by the isser of Osav Espino. When the Torah says shor oseh, we don't assume that you're going to shecht both and their offspring in order to violate the isser. We assume either or. So by putting together Chananya with the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, we have no problem whatsoever. We don't need a drasha. We don't need the word O. We don't need the word Oso. That's the default assumption of the Torah, that we always assume not connected, unless the Torah says otherwise. My Chananya, my Rabbanan. Now, we've been making allusions to this machlokas of Chananya and the Chachamim, and it'd be fair to say, what are they arguing about, and how is it relevant to Osav Espino? Detanya. So the Gemara now introduces us to the machlokas. Osav Espino Nog bin Akevos, Veino Nog bin Zecharim. So the Shita of the Chachamim. The Isser of Osav Espino is no egg for the mother, meaning the mother animal, not for the father animal. By the way, separate from our discussion here in the Gemara, there is an interesting discussion of whether or not the Isser of Osav Espino applies if a man were to shecht an offspring and its child, or a woman shechting an offspring and its child. L'chora, you would say that of course it applies to men and women, because it's a law in the Torah, and law in the Torah apply to men and women equally. The Gemara over here is not talking about that. That, by the way, is an interesting discussion in of itself. Some Rishonim take an interesting approach, which is the issur is only for the man, not for the woman. But anyway, our discussion over here is talking about the mother animal and the father animal. And according to the Chachamim, Eino Noeg Bezcharim means that there is no Isser in the Torah for shechting a father and its offspring on the same day. Now, it could very well be, in other words, it's not, obviously the father's input is necessary in order to create the offspring, but when the Torah introduces us to the Isser is only on the mother. Now, in a moment, we're going to ask the obvious question. Oso the Espino. What lashon is the Torah talking? The Torah is talking in lashon zachar, so it is a strange shita, especially when you think about the pasuk and the diktukah pasuk. But we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So according to the Chachamim, most of us ben noeg ben kevos, ve'inu noeg ben zecharim, and Chananya omer noeg ben zecharim ben kevos. And Chananya says no. The Isser of Osav Espino applies to mother and its offspring, and a father and its offspring. My time at the Rabbanan D'Tanya, the Gemara now goes through the Makaros of each of the Shita. First, we're going to tackle the Shita of the Chachamim. Yachl Yehosef Espeno Noeg Ben Bezchayim Ben Nekefas Vidinu. One might have thought the Isser of Osef Espeno applies to one's to the mother and the father. So Chayev Kan V'Chayev Be'im Al Habanim. So the Gemara says, well, let's compare. We have an Isser over here where you have a relationship in animals between a parent and its offspring, and you have another Isser slash mitzvah in the Torah, which, by the way, we have a parak dedicated to here in Chulin later in the Masechta, and that's Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. Ma kishechayev be'im al habanim b'nekevas v'lo b'zcharim, af kishechayev kan b'nekevas v'lo b'zcharim. Now, when it comes to the Isser or mitzvah, it's both, by the way, Shiluach HaKen. It's a mitzvah and it's an Isser. So, Afkish, and in the parak, we're going to spend a lot of time going over the relationship between the Isser and the mitzvah. Shalech to Shalech Esayim. But anyway, so in the mitzvah Isser of Shiluach HaKen, so it is for the mother, not for the father. So too over here, when the Torah says Osav Espano, it's only for the mother, not for the father. Lo. Imamard Be'im Alabanim Shekin Lo'asabah Mezuman Kishen Mezuman. Tomer Bo'osav Espano Sh'asabah Mezuman Kishen Mezuman. Gemara says, I understand that on one hand, there is a comparison to be made between these two Isserim of the Torah, because it is a parent-child Isser, but they're not the same. For example, by the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, so it's only in a situation of Eino Mezuman. Eino Mezuman means you find it. You didn't prepare it. You didn't set it aside. In other words, you found the nest, you found the bird, you found the eggs. That is the only time there's a mitzvah opportunity. So it's a very unusual mitzvah. It's a mitzvah only by chance. You can't prepare that mitzvah. Masha'in kenosav espeno is the Isser, whether it's mezuman, whether it's in a mezuman. So I know they're comparable, but they're not really that comparable. So tam lomer oso, echev lo beis. So the Torah says, okay, so, I'm sorry, the Braisa says, good. So I have another way to arrive at the conclusion that it is the mother, not the father. How? Because it says oso. Oso is a lashon yachid. Only if I shecht one of the parents. Now, which parent? So now that we know that we're limited to one parent, so which parent is it going to be? Is it going to be the mother or the girl? Is it going to be the father? Now I can go to Shiluach HaKen to say that it's going to be the mother, not the father. Now I understand that a moment earlier we made the argument the mitzvot are not perfectly comparable. That part's true. That hasn't changed. But still, once we know that by Osav Espeno it's limited to one parent, and I have to make a decision which parent it is, Shiluach HaKen now can tell us that there's a stronger relationship between the mother and its offspring rather than the father and the offspring. Good. V'in Meshech Lamar, the price is not done yet. And I can make even another argument. Beno, Misha Beno Kurcha Acharav. Yasazach Hashem Beno Kurcha Acharav. And then we talk about the behavior. The behavior pattern of an offspring in the animal world is that the child is, generally speaking, going to follow its mother and not its father. So when we talk about beno, osove es beno, lo sishchu tu b'yamechad, so beno is, generally speaking, focusing on the nature of the relationship between an offspring and its mother, because that's what generally follows. So we have another argument in terms of why it is the isser osove es beno is for the mother and not for the father. Now the Gemara says, now it's an interesting braisa with a funny ending to it. Meaning the braisa made a comparison between the Isurim of Osav Espeno and Shiluach HaKen, and then the braisa says, and if that doesn't do it for you, I got another argument. The Gemara says, what happened? What happened in the braisa? Meaning there must have been a little bit of give and take in the braisa, a little pushback in the braisa, because the braisa went with another option of how to learn it. That's the Gemara's question. So, ma im nafshech lamar, v'chitem oso zachar mashma, hari omer b'no, mishu b'no kruch acharav, yatsa zachar shein b'no kruch acharav. What was the pushback in the braisa? The point that we made earlier. How can you make the argument that oso is a reference to the mother, when meanwhile oso is b'lashon zachar, not lashon nekeva? That's the pushback. And so for that, the braisa then said, okay, I hear you. All right, so we have another argument to make, which is b'no kruch acharav. It doesn't respond to the fact that the word oso is in the male, in the masculine language, as opposed to the female, but at least now we have a second argument provided in terms of why we know it's the mother, not the father. All this is Shitas Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, the Issur Torah of Osav Espino is only for the mother and its offspring, not for the father and its offspring. Ulechananya, we are now on the top of Ayin Testament Aleph. Ksiv Oso Demashma Zachar, Ksiv Beno. Misha Beno Kruchacharav, Demashma Nekeva. Hilkech Noach, Ben Bizcharim, Ben Nekeva. So according to Chananya, we don't have to choose. We have the word Oso. Oso implies the father, because that's Lashon Zachar. We also have the word Beno. Misha Beno Kruchacharav. So according to Chananya, it's the mother and it's the father. Meaning, one would be in violation of the Yisr of Osav Espino, whether one shechted the mother and its offspring B'yom Echad, or whether shechted the father and its offspring B'yom Echad. So far, what we have right now in front of us are, amongst the Tanayim, two Shitos. In just a moment, we're going to be introduced to a third Shita. How could there be a third option? Stay tuned. It's coming up. But right now, we have two Shitas amongst the Tanayim. One is the Chachamim, only the mother, not the father, in terms of the Isser of Osav Espino. And two is Chananya. The Isser is for the mother and the offspring, and for the father and the offspring. Good. Amar Rav Huna bar Chia, Amar Shmuel Hilchasa ke Chananya. Now the Gemara quotes B'shem Shmuel, that the halach in fact does follow like Chananya, that we're Choshishin Lezera Av, that the Isser is for the mother, and there's an Isser for the father as well. Vazah Shmuel Atame, did Nan Rav Yehuda Amar. And the Gemara says, and this is consistent because we have the following Mishnah in Kalayim. Hanoladim in Asus Afa Pishavim Chamor Mutarm Zebezem. Okay. We're talking now about mating and breeding mules. Okay. Now, in of itself, can I just sidestep a simple question? In other words, we all think, at least I do, that mules are sterile and they can't create progeny. And that may be true. And we're not here to argue that point. But over here, when it comes to a mule is a cross between a donkey and a horse. Now, how do you produce a mule? So with a donkey and the horse, it does not matter whether the mother was a donkey and the father was a horse or vice versa. As long as you cross a donkey and a horse, what you can result in is in a mule. Good. So there's an obscure Gemara elsewhere describing the placenta of a mule, which is obviously a curiosity because, no, it doesn't. It's sterile. No, there is no placenta to the mule, but anyway, not for now. Anyway, so even though a mule is sterile and we're not here to shake any of our, any of what we know in terms of the nature of mules, the point is very simple. A mule is a crossed animal between a horse and a donkey. And are we allowed to mate, even though it's not going to produce a child, are we allowed to mate one mule together with another mule? Now, let's take this into consideration. We know that when it comes to mating and breeding animals, so we're not allowed to cross an animal one with another. I guess the question then begs itself, how do we get to the mule? Meaning, how were you able to take the horse and donkey and put them together? And maybe the answer is very simple. You're not allowed to do that. But here we are. We're at the point now where we have a mule. So, okay, good, we're here, right? And now, can I take the two mules in? Can I breed them together? Now, how come this Gemara is going to get slightly complicated, just slightly? Because as we just pointed out a moment earlier, a mule could be one of two options. Its mother could be a horse, its father could be a donkey, or the opposite. Its mother could be a donkey, its father could be a horse. So because of that, so therefore when we have a mule, so we really have two different options how we can arrive at this mule. Either mother's a donkey, or its mother's a horse. Let's just leave it like that. By the way, if it's a mule, by definition, its father's going to be the other animal. That's by definition. Can I mate and can I breed mules together? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Kalayim, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, and now let's read the Mishnah together, because now the Mishnah is going to speak very clearly. Hanoldim en asos afa pishavim chamor mutarim ze beze. So the author of the Mishnah in Kalayim says like this: I can mate mules one to another, but they have to be a match, meaning that they both have to have the same type of mother. And again, if they have the same type of mother, by definition, they're going to have the same type of father. A mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. If they both share the common characteristic of having a donkey as a mother, so then by definition, their fathers are going to be horses. Good. That now means that, according to the Mishnah in Kalayim, yes, you can mate the mules together, but only if they match. However, if they don't match one to another, meaning one mule's mother is a horse and the other mule's mother is a donkey, so you cannot breed them together, you can't mate them together. Now, on this Mishnah, we're not done yet. So, Shmuel made the following statement. This Mishnah is in compliance with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, parenthetically, we knew that because the Mishnah opened up with the words, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shmuel's not there to teach us that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. What Shmuel's pointing out is that if you subscribe to another Tana, now I know he says Chachamim, but you'll see why I'm careful in the way I'm speaking. If you hold like another Tana, you can mate mules together and you don't have to do any background check and see whether this mule's mother is a horse and this mule's mother also is a horse. If this mule's mother is a horse and this mule's mother is a donkey, it doesn't matter, says Shmuel, according to another Tana. By the way, who is that other Tanya? Chananya Hudamar Choshen Lezera'av. So that Tana belongs to the position of Chananya, which means that according to Chananya, we do in fact take into account the father's input in the production of a child. And it means like this. According to Chananya, mother and father are equally halachically valid in the production of an offspring. When I have a mule, it is the product of a horse and donkey. According to Chananya, because the father's input, halachically, is just as significant as the mother, it doesn't matter, simply does not matter, what the cross was in order to get here. Was the mother a horse? Was the father a horse? It doesn't matter. You have a horse and donkey, you have an H and you have a D. According to Chananya, the product is a mule, and it doesn't matter which one was the mother, which one was the father. So Vahai, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Vahai bar susya v'chamra, Vahai bar chamra, v'susya kulu chada mina ninu. It's all the same min. It's all the same. And that would be the shita of Chananya. Masha enkein, if you subscribed to the shita of the Chachamim, now, Rabbi Yehuda, I will get back to in just a moment. But if I subscribe to the shita of the Chachamim, what do they say? That vis-a-vis the halacha of Osav Espino, what is regarded? Only the relationship between the mother and its offspring. So the mule is, as far as the mule is concerned, if a mule's mother is a horse, so that is a mule, but a horse mule, if you're following my language. If the mother is a donkey, so that's a donkey mule. So that means to say then that of course, according to the Chachamim, one would not be able to mate these animals together because they are two different donkeys. That's a horse donkey. Thank you for the clarification. That's a horse mule. That's a donkey mule. And they're not the same according to the Chachamim. Now, as I pointed out just a little bit earlier, there is a third shita, and the third shita happens to be the shita Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. Ibai Lahu, continuing in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now let's introduce ourselves to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, where does Rabbi Yehuda stand? In other words, for Rabbi Yehuda, is the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda that we don't regard the father's input whatsoever? Or is Rabbi Yehuda just simply unsure? Meaning, he's somewhere straddling between the sheet of Chananya and the sheet of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, and the Nafkamina would be very simple. Let's say I have a mule. Mule's mother is a donkey. Can this mule now mate with a donkey? Now the Gemara says, pre im ha'im. Doesn't mean we're crossing it with its mother, although quite frankly, I don't think there's an isser in the world of animals in terms of arayos. But the simple point of the Gemara is as follows. I have a mule. Its mother's a donkey. Is this now, I know it's a mule, but is this mule basically a donkey? If I subscribe to the Chacham, and the answer is yes, the mule is a donkey. And that means to say that I could take this mule and I could mate it with a donkey. Because according to the Chachamim, we are not concerned with the father's input whatsoever. And so therefore there'd be no isser of crossing if I take this animal and mate it with a donkey. Good. And if I subscribe to the Shita of Chananya, the answer is unequivocally no. This is a mule. It is a blend of its father and its mother. Its father was a horse. Its mother is a donkey. It is not a donkey. It's not a horse. It's a mule. It's a birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own independent entity. Of course you can't cross it with a donkey. And of course you can't cross it with a horse, because according to the Shita of the Chananya, this mule is a horse and a donkey. It's both. Good. So we know for sure what Chananya would say. We know for sure what the Chachamim would say. What about Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara goes on to point out, this is exactly our question. If Rav Yehuda is unequivocally on board together with the Shita of the Chachamim, so then we're good. So then this mule can be mated with a donkey, because this mule's mother was a donkey, so that means effectively this mule's a donkey. And of course you'd be allowed to mate it with another donkey. But Elam, the Iyamar Tzfuki Mestafkalei, Priyama Aim Asur. So, but if, however, it is in the world of Safek, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is somewhere vacillating between the Shita of the Chachamim and that of Chananya, so then he simply doesn't know whether this mule is a donkey, because its mother's a donkey, or it's a blend of horse and donkey. And then because of the Safek, obviously, you would not be able to mate it with a donkey. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the Mishnah in Kalim that we learned earlier. Let's see the Mishnah again. So the Gemara says that, look at the case that we described earlier, that if I have a donkey and noldim min asus, afa pishavim chamor, they both share the same pattern. Their mothers were a horse. Their fathers were a donkey. Mutarim ze bezeh. They're allowed to mate one with the other. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Did you understand the Mishnah? If the Mishnah is talking about a simple scenario where they're sharing the exact same pattern of mother and father, so I need a Mishnah and Kalayim to tell me something which I think is obvious. I think it's obvious. So Elalav Davu Adai Sus Vavu Adai Chamor. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to inject a Chiddush in the Mishnah. You know what the Mishnah is probably describing? What the Mishnah is describing where they are both the products they have the same mother, but they do not share the same father. V'ketani mutarim ze im ze. Ama mishap shitalei. And the Gemara says, so clearly over here, what we're dealing with is...
The mother is also Hamor. That's a straight Hamor.
I guess so. I guess that's what the Gemara is now suggesting as a pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, and if this is Rav Yehuda, one second. If the Gemara now is suggesting that for Rav Yehuda Mishap Shitalei, that he is clearly on board with the Shita of Ein Choshen Lezera'av, that we're not concerned with the father's input, so then the father's input simply is not going to be regarded, and in that case that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, no, that's not. We're not going to say that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. Lo, la'olam du'avu adai chamor v'avu adai chamor. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to what we suggested earlier, that they are both going to be a match. They are both father and mother the same. Father is a donkey. Mother is a horse for both of these mules. And the Mishnah is telling us that according to Rav Yehuda, they can mate them one to another. And we can still entertain the idea that according to Rav Yehuda, it's a suffix. Now, if all this is true, what's the Mishnah and Kalim coming to teach us? The Gemara over here introduces us to a fascinating Havamina. Udekamar tzricha lameimar. So, and as far as what the Chiddush in the Mishnah is, let's consider. Mao detema asitzad desus mishamish betzad chamor vitzad chamor mishamish betzad tzus kamash malan. I have a mule. I have two mules. The question is, can we mate the two mules together? Now we're looking now at its lineage. And for both of them, we have a match. The mothers are both horses, the fathers are both donkeys, or vice versa. In other words, it doesn't matter, just simply we have a match. What would be any consideration that we would not be able to mate these animals together? And even if we entertain the idea that we're not worried about the father's input whatsoever, so then the Shita of the Chachamim, then their mothers have to be the same. Good. And if we entertain the Shita of Chananya, where we take both into consideration, interestingly enough, according to Chananya, it gets really interesting. Because according to Hananya, it doesn't matter which one's the mother and which one's the father. Because Hananya says that they are both equally participating in input, and so therefore they would be able to mate as well. But in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which clearly the Mishnah climb is going like, in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so he's mesupak. He's in a state of doubt, in flux. And the case of the Mishnah climb is where the mothers and fathers match. Their mothers are both horses, their fathers are both donkeys. What's the Havamina to consider otherwise? And the Gemara says, because here, I read it, I'm just now going to say it outside, because here's maybe what I'm concerned with. Even though, as I look at these two mules, and we're considering mating them together, and we're thinking to ourselves, we're good, right? According to either position we take, either the Chacham and Merchananya, we're going to be good, maybe not. Because even though this mule happens to be a blend of horse and donkey, and the same with this one, and even though this one has mother horse, father donkey, and the same with this one as well, but maybe when they mate, maybe it's like the 9-volt battery, in which, I know it's a great comparison, but maybe what you're going to have is, you're not going to be having the positive going to the positive, negative going to the negative, or in this particular case, maybe this mule's horse component to it is not going to just stay with that mule's horse component to it, but maybe they will cross with one another. So maybe the positive and negative cross with one another, and one would be in violation of the Isser of Kalayim. And to that, the Gemara says, that's the Havamina of why I would have thought differently. And the Maskana is no. It's still going to be okay. Really interesting question, discussion over here in Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. What the Gemara now has just taught us is the following. That if I have a mule, which obviously is a composite of horse and donkey, and I have another mule, which is a composite of horse and donkey, there is simply no issur of mating them together. We considered for a moment that maybe the horse-donkey components of each are going to get crossed with the other, and the H is not going to match with the H, and the D is not going to match with the D. And to that, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not... But even though we entertain that for a moment, we reject that. We're rejecting that argument. You know, in a very similar scenario, says Tosfos, we don't reject such an argument, and that is the Chatzi Eved and the Chatzi Ben Chorin. One of the often discussed halachas throughout Shas, which is so interesting, comes up. I mean, nowadays we don't own avadim and shvachos, so it doesn't come up at all. But in the scenario where two people are owning an Eved Kenani, and one person says, you know what, he's gonna emancipate his portion, and so now what you have is a chatzi Eved chatzi Ben Chorin. And there is a machlokus in the Mishnayos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What do we do at that point going forward? And eventually Beis Hillel capitulates to Beis Shammai, and that is that we're going to force the other owner to free him. What's the problem? The problem is that our Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin has nobody to marry. Can't marry somebody who is a Ben Chorin, or Bas Chorin, and can't marry a Shivcha. Because this Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is a hybrid of both. And so he can't marry a Shivcha because half of him is a Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Chorin, because half of him is an Eved. So what is he going to do? He has nobody to marry. And the Gemara over there, when I say over there, by the way, it's in a number of places. Tosfos happens to quote the Gemara from Chagiga. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the following? Why don't we just get him a Chatzi Bas Eved, Chatzi Bas Chorin, and why don't we just simply put them together? And the Gemara over there says, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? Because they're going to cross, right? In other words, it will not be the 9-volt battery will not go in the positive to the positive, negative to the negative. And so it's a great kasha. So Tosfos wants to know, what's the difference between our case over here where the Gemara rejects that as a concern, and Masha Enkin over there where the Gemara does not reject that as a concern. The Gemara, in fact, the concern is so strong that we have no other option but to free our Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin.
One is a genetic status, the other one's halachic status.
Good. There are answers. There's for sure answers to the question. Yeah. The question is great.
One has 62.
Okay. We're continuing in the Gemara Tashma. Tashma. We're about two-thirds down on 9 Testament Aleph. We are continuing in the Gemara, continuing in our discussion of father's input vis-a-vis the Isser of Osa Vespino. And we are also correlating it to the discussion of crossing animals together. Rav Yehuda Amar, Pritisha Tava. So let's say you have a mule and a female mule, and it's interested in mating. And so what do you mate with it? So Ein Marvina Lalo Susvalo Chamor Ela Mina. So once again, we're learning together the same basic point. And that is that in order to avoid the Isser in the Torah of mating different animals together, so you have to get a complementary mule to mate with our female mule. V'yamar mishapshita le ravala mina dima. So the Gemara says, now, over here, if Rav Yehuda is only taking into account the mother and not the father, so then what do you need mina? What do you need the same type of mule? Meaning, just simply discover what exactly, what mother this mule is coming from. If the mother is a horse, so then this is a horse. I know it's a mule, but halachically it's a horse. And the mother is a donkey, so then this mule is a donkey. And so why over here, if we're going to mate it, do we necessarily need another mule? We don't need another mule. So once again, another clear proof that according to Rav Yehuda, he is not taking a definitive position, but rather he's stuck somewhere in the middle.
Would Rabbi Yehuda say that the halacha pederechem applies to a mule whose mother is a donkey, based on this?
I don't know. I don't know how far we would go, to be honest. So the lo yadinan mina diima meinino. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? We have a mule. We obviously know that's a cross between a horse and a donkey, but after that, we don't know. So the Gemara says, we don't know. Come on. Anybody would know. Now, when I say anybody, I exclude myself from anybody. In other words, I would not know. I'm not sure if I would know. This is such a shameful admission. I'm not sure if I would know the difference between a donkey and a mule. I would look at it and I'd be like, I think it's a donkey. I simply wouldn't know. So for people who know, it's obvious. Now, the Gemara is well beyond me. The Gemara not only knows what the difference is between a donkey and a mule. The Gemara also knows that you just take a look at the mule and you'll be easily able to discern what its combination was regarding mother and father. Whether the mother was a donkey and the father was a horse or vice versa. So Elamina, I'm sorry. Mina diima mina I'm sorry. Iviyama Mishapshita Lemirvala Mina Dima Deloya Dina Mina Dima Maininu. Vaha Elamina Kitani Hachikamar In Marvina La Lo Min Susvalo Min Chamor Lefishain Yo Dimbi Mina. So the Gemara says we don't know. We simply don't know. So the Gemara says, "V'liv dog b'simanim." What do you mean you don't know? Take a look at the mule. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "This is it. We're going to be able now to follow the patterns of the mule to know whether the mother was a donkey or father was a horse or the reverse." Avikala, if its voice was very thick, bar chamra, so you know that its mother was a donkey. Tsnif kale, if it's got a very clear voice, so then bar susya. It is in other words, its mother's a horse. And va'amara papa ravravin udne, and you can go weiter. If the ears are long, so vizutra gunufta, and its tail is short, bar chamra. So now you know that it is the product of a donkey. Zutran udne, if its ears are short, and viraba gunufta, and its tail is long, so bar susi, you know it's the product of a horse. So basically, we can look at the simonim of the mule to know. As the Gemara gives an answer, well, maybe the Mishnah that we learned together in Kalayim is talking about a scenario where the ears are cut, the tail is cut, there are no simonim. My Havi Allah, the Gemara says, okay, we're just deflecting over here. Meaning, we just simply, the Mishnah is not absolute proof of Rav Yehuda Shita and where exactly it holds. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, okay, consider the following Damar, Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua, HaKol Modim B'Pri Ma'im, Sha'asar. So the Gemara says, look, everyone's in agreement that what you can't do is you can't take a mule and mate it with its mother. And again, its mother means that its mother's type, which means that even if I subscribe strictly to the Shita of the Chachamim, there'd be no problem. Because the Chachamim hold, Ein Choshishin Lezera Av, that we are not concerned with the father's input. A mule, according to the Chachamim, is only halachically a product of its mother. So if a mule's mother is a horse, it's a horse. There'd be no problem, according to the Chachamim, of mating the mule with the horse. By virtue of the fact that the Gemara quotes, B'shem, Rav Huna B'Reid, Rav Yeshua, that HaKol Modim, that everyone agrees. I mean, when we say everyone, we mean Chananya and Rabbi Yehuda, that B'Priyam Ha'im Sha'asar, that you cannot take a mule and mate it with its mother's type, what does that mean? It means we're on the fence. It means that we consider its father's input. And the Gemara says, in effect, that's the conclusion. Really interesting, by the way. If you look at the top of our Amud, Amr Avuna Barchi Amr Shmuel Hilchasa Kechananya. So according to Shmuel, the halacha is like Hananya, which means that according to Shmuel, we pay no attention whatsoever, other way around. Hananya is Choshishin, but Choshishin means, sorry, other way around. I didn't mean pay no attention. I meant we pay full attention to the input of the father. Mashiachin, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara now is signing with, we are just simply in a state of suffix. Maybe the father's input is significant, maybe it's not, and so therefore the halacha is you have to take it into consideration. Okay. Amalei Rab Abba l'shamei. E. Ma'ayali kudnasa be'rispak. If you're going to be harnessing my wagon, and you're going to be harnessing two mules to my wagon, so ayin lahanach the damyan lahadade va'ayali. So he says, here's what I need. I need the mules to be a match. Meaning what I cannot have is I can't just have two random mules hitched together. Why not? Not only is there an issue in the Torah of crossing animals together, but one is not allowed to have two different animals work together. If our mules are different combinations to arrive there, so he is concerned now that maybe they are not the same. They're not the same men, and so one would be in violation of the Torah. So El Amakas Avei Choshin Lezera Av. So the Gemara says, now he happens to be of the opinion that we're not Choshish Lezera Av. Now, to say it somewhat differently, I know the Gemara's Lashon is a little bit tricky over here. When we say Ein Choshish Lezera Av, it means that we're not definitively rejecting or precluding the father's input. Meaning, we're holding like Rav Yehuda, it's a state of Suffolk. And because it's the state of Suffolk, consider. Again, if I held definitively in one way or another, there'd be no problem hitching a mule one to another. If I held definitively that we are Choshish Lezera'av, that the father's input significant, what are two mules? They are the same. Doesn't matter whether mother or father or horse or donkey. Doesn't matter the combination. If I hold Ein Choshish Lezera'av, I'm only interested in the mother's input, so then I have to look at what the mother is. If we're in the state of Suffolk, which the Gemara, the Bam and the Amud concludes, so then we have to take both into account.
Right.
That's it.
It's the Kashin Derishoinim.
Okay.
The Rambam answered that we saw that the riding of mules, the Rabbuna Kashisha.
Okay. V'simanim da'araisa. And the Gemara points out, and in order to arrive at this conclusion that we can look at the animal and check the animal to make sure what exactly its blend is in terms of whether it's a donkey or a mother's a donkey, father's a horse, or vice versa. So, and by checking the animal, and the Gemara already gave us ways and means of checking the animal, the length of its tail, the length of its ears, the sound of its voice. So these simanim operate on a daraisa level. There's an interesting Rashi over here, a really interesting Rashi. Rashi on the top of the Amud writes as follows, Simanim Daraisa. Midasamecha Samanim Vishari Yisuri Alai Ushmamina Hadasamchina Simanim Bechazaris Aveda Kedarmina Be'elam Mitzios Daraisa Hi. So over here we see that allowing Simanim to be a determinant of whether the mule is a composite of a mother horse, father donkey, or vice versa, and by us now allowing the Simanim to be the determinant, we are being matir in Isra Daraisa. Similarly, says Rashi, when we return a lost item based on a siman, it is a din d'oraisa. The either rabbanan nihidav or rabbanan takanta b'mon mona b'isurim imatz mitakne. If all I had was the halachas of a shavas aveda, that's a din of mamonos. So what can we say when it comes to mamon? The chachamim have a lot of power when it comes to money. Money can be shuffled and shifted from one party to another, right? We have the concept, the principle of hefker based on hefker. So just because we're returning an item to its rightful owner based on simanim, so that he doesn't tell us one way or another necessarily simanim or daraisa or derabanan. So the elish mamina daraisa he. So the but over here, when we're talking now no longer about a monetary issue, we're talking about iser veheter, and we're allowing simanim to be a determinant, We have nothing to conclude but that simanim are a din d'araisa. Interesting Rashi. Ten Rabbanim, we're on the top of the Amud, on Ayin Tesamud Beis. Osav Espeno Noeg B'Kalayim V'Koy. That Osav Espeno applies to both Kalayim and it applies to Koy. Now, Osav Espeno applies to Kalayim, that we learned in yesterday's daf. We started in today's share with. It also applies to Koy. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kalayim Habam in Ezam in Aracha Osav Espeno Noeg Bo. Koy in Osav Espeno Noeg Bo. That if I have Kalayim Habam in Ezam in Aracha. If I have a cross between goats and sheep, so Osav Espeno applies to it. However, Koi, Osav Espeno does not apply to it. Now, before we go into further, a couple of basic points to make over here to help us understand and facilitate the upcoming Gemara. First and foremost, something which the Gemara never explicitly states, but we know is correct. We know it because, first of all, we read the Rambam just yesterday in the afternoon, but we know it's correct. The Isser of Osav Espeno only applies to behemoths. It does not apply to Chaya. There is no Isser of Osav Espeno as it relates to a Chaya. You have a deer and its offspring, so, right? Sorry, Bambi. So, yeah. So, you have a deer and its offspring, so you can kill both in the same day. There'd be no there'd be no Isser in the Torah in doing so. The Isser is only for Behema. It's actually pretty clear in the Pesukim. The Torah gives two examples. Shor, Oseh. The Torah's two examples are domesticated animals, not Chayas. Good. That's point number one. Point number two. When we're talking about a koi, as we're about to talk about, so in terms of its pronunciation, I've heard koi, I've heard kvi, I've heard both. All right, I've heard people say I heard the same person say both. So good. So we don't know how to pronounce it. And not only that, but what is it? So there are a couple of options what it is. I'm not telling you what it is in terms of like, I'm not going to be labeling an animal and saying that's the koi. But in terms of halacha, it could be a couple of things. It could, first of all, be a beria b'fnei atzma. It could just simply be an independent animal somewhere stuck in terms of category between being a behema or being a chaya. Or what a koi could be is it could be a crossed animal, a cross between a mother being a behema, a father being a chaya, or vice versa. And so over here, as we're discussing the koi as it relates to the Isser Osav Espeno, so what exactly are we talking about when we say a koi? We know the following. It's a machlokus whether or not the Isser Osav Espeno applies to a koi. According to the Tanakhama of our Brisa that we just learned, it applies to a koi. Rabbi Lazar says it does not apply to a koi. Only begs the question, what kind of koi are we talking about over here? Amar of Chista, Izu koi, Shenech Lugubom, Rabbi Lazar v'chachamim. So, good. So, it is exactly now the Gemara's question. What koi are we debating? Father is a goat. Mother is a deer. Hechidami. Ilema b'taisha bala tzviya v'yalda v'kashachila ulabra. So, the Gemara says, v'amar rechista akomodim behi tzviya b'na taisha pater se ubeno amarech whenever lo tzviya b'no. If the mother's a deer, there is no iser whatsoever. Because, as I pointed out in the intro, there is no Isser Osav Espeno for a chaya and its offspring. If the mother's a deer, it doesn't matter who the father was. It doesn't matter what the offspring was. If the mother's a deer, there simply is no Isser. Everybody agrees to that point. Let's move on. So, Ela B'Tzvi Abala Taisha. So, we're talking about a deer, father's a deer, mother's a goat. V'yalda V'kashachila Labra. So, what we did is we shechted this mother, which was a goat, and its offspring on the same day. So the Gemara says, that's a debate. Everyone's going to say that you're going to be chayev under those circumstances, because consider, what does the Torah say? Shor oseh, oso ve'espeno lo sishchu to b'yamechad. The Torah's hakpada is only on what type is the mother. Is the mother a behema? If it is, you shecht it and its offspring. It doesn't matter what its offspring is. You're going to be in violation of the Isser. So even if the mother is a behema, and the father is a chaya, and it produces an offspring, everyone's going to be in agreement that you're going to be in violation of the Isser. So la'olam b'tai shaba ala tzviya v'yaldaba. So the Gemara says, so as far as the debate over here, it's going to get a little bit complicated. We're talking about a case where the first generation is a Tayish and a Tzviya. Father is a goat. mother is a deer, v'yal dabas, and they have now an offspring. Now, this offspring is what? First of all, it's a girl. It's a girl. And secondly, it is now a cross between a chaya and a behema. It happens to be that its father was a behema. Its mother was a chaya. Ubas yalda ben. And now what happened was is that this cross now had its own child. V'kashachit la ulavra. And now what we did is we shechted it and its offspring. Generation 2 and generation 3. Did that on the same day? Did that person violate the Isser of Osef Espa? No. And the Gemara says, now here it's all going to line up. Rabban and Savri Choshenshin Lezera Av. So according to the Chachamim, father's input significant. The original father's input is significant. And the original father is a behema. So this second generation is a partial behema. Sev afilo mixaseh. The Torah says, shor oseh. Now, in order to violate the Isser of the Torah, does it have to be a purebred seh? No. It just needs some seh in it. And if the father, or the first generation father was a seh, so according to the opinion of Chananya, the second generation is going to have partial seh. It's more than enough to violate the Isser of shor oseh, and then you can put in parentheses, afilo mixaseh, oseh espanol, sishch dubi amachad. And Rabbi Elazar Savra in Choshen Lazera Av. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, we disregard the father's input halachically altogether. Vistev afil mixasel lo amrinan. And so therefore, what do we have over here in generation number 2? What we have in generation number 2 is all chaya. 100% chaya. And so therefore, there'd be no iser. So the Gemara says, good. So what we came up now is with a case which is, quite frankly, a little bit complicated, somewhat convoluted. And really, when you know when all said and done, if you distill the machlokas, do you know what the machlokas really boils down to? Whether or not the father's input is significant or not. That's the Amud Aleph of today's daf. We've already explored that topic. We've already covered that topic. So the Gemara says, so really, when all said and done, we're just rehashing the same machlokas that we said earlier. It's not that the machlokas is insignificant. It's very significant. But why are you packaging the same machlokas in a different manner? It's more complicated. And it comes down that they're really arguing over the same point that we discussed earlier. So the Gemara says, I hear you. In other words, we could have just simply distilled it to choshesh and lezer av. But there is one other feature that we learned over here. And that is that in that second generation, where we are concerned about the father's input, that second generation is a composite of the father being a behema, the mother being a chaya. And so even if I do say that we pay attention to the father's input, but here's what I could have argued. Good. Our second generation now has a little bit of seh and a little bit of chaya. A little bit of behema, a little bit of chaya. We can even say more than a little bit, 50%. But I would have made the argument that when the Torah introduces us to the Isser of Shur Oseh, in order to violate the Isser, it has to be 100% Seh. So over here, what we're actually introducing is a novel point, that in order to violate the Isser, you don't have to be 100% Seh. You can even be 50% Seh, and that would be good enough. Okay, let's pause over here. Good. Where do we stand right now? In terms of Choshen Lezerav, there are three shitas amongst the Tanayim. The shita of Chananya, the shita of the Chachamim, and the middle shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Chananya is of the opinion that we are in fact taking into account the father's input, and every child is going to be a composite of its father and its mother. The shita of the Chachamim is that when we take the offspring of an animal, we only take into account the mother, not the father. And then there's a sheet of Rav Yehuda, which is in the middle. A suffix whether he holds like the Chachamim or he holds like the Shita of Chananya. And that was the Amud Aleph of today's daf. In the Amud Beis of today's daf, more or less the same discussion, but with an additional chiddush, is that to violate the Isser of Osef Espino, number one has to be a behemoth, not a chaya. Mother has to be a behemoth. Mother cannot be a chaya to violate the Isser. And The mother does not have to be 100% behema. The mother could be just part behema, and still there would be a violation of the Isser.